This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Chris Eliopoulos and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. I'm your host, Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is the Dean of Disney, Mike Scopa. Here we go, Mike. Let's make it happen.
It's going to make it happen, and I'll tell you what's happening. As I look out my window, I can see the trees turning from green to orange, and that means that pretty soon...
That's it. Everyone will start falling off, just like my hair. It'll all start falling off the trees.
Get the old fireplace started up and see what goes on. So how you doing?
Doing very well as we head into the rest of October. I have a lot of stuff going on coming up in this next few months. I'm going to be traveling a lot, so
I'm going to be busy.
Busy. So
Flyer miles.
Yeah.
So,
Let's start off with some news. No.
Yeah. Normally we do Walt Disney World updates and news. I'm going to switch it around. I think we should spend some time today talking about things going on in Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
I think that would be good. It's been like almost 10 years since I've been there. I think I was there.
Yeah.
2017, 18. I don't remember.
Yeah.
For those who are planning to go to Disneyland or real fans of Disneyland, there are some things that you may or may not be aware of. There's a lot of refurbishments going on in Disneyland. And right off the bat, I can give you a list of, all the things that are going on. So here's a rundown of things that are going through a refurbishment right now and when you can expect them to reopen. There is Goofy's How to Play Yard is closed for refurbishment later this month. So if you have little ones who love to take part in that part of the park, be aware that there's some refurbishment coming on. The Golden Horseshoe had been closed for a while, but now it's open. If you are a fan of the Golden Horseshoe Entertainment and their food, that is opening. That opened on October 3rd. The part of the Disneyland park known as Centennial Park is closed through October 22nd for refurbishment. A big time attraction that everyone loves. And I actually like this Space Mountain better than the one in Walt Disney World. Space Mountain is closed for refurbishment. It will reopen hopefully by the 27th of October. So keep that in mind. A special kind of place, the Mark Twain Riverboat, which I actually got to steer on the go up to the helm and actually.
It didn't sink?
Even though it didn't sink. Thanks. Again, my buddy Sam Genoway talked the cast members into letting me steer the ship. Anyways, the Mark Twain Riverboat will not reopen. It's closed for refurbishment. It will not reopen until probably close to Thanksgiving, maybe a week or two before Thanksgiving. But right now it looks like mid-November. Let's go back to Goofy's How to Play Yard. I just came across the dates. It's going to close on October 23rd, and it's going to be closed through November 10th. So,
not too bad.
I mean, it's another thing, but it just the hits just keep on coming. It's a Small World is closing October 23rd, but for a very good reason. They're going to install the holiday overlay. And I'll tell you, Chris, you know, people make fun and they jest about It's a Small World, but I've been in Disneyland around Christmas time to see all the Christmas stuff. And I remember waiting 90 minutes to see the It's a Small World Christmas overlay. And the very next night I went back and waited another 90 minutes because I wanted to see it again. It's just outstanding what they put into that. So it's great.
Cool.
Let's see. Splash Mountain, of course, just like the one in Walt Disney World, is closed. They're transforming that into Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And they're hoping that they'll have that transformation ready by possibly this time next year. My guess is that it's going to happen sometime in November of next year.
It's down for a long time. Wow.
Another favorite of mine in Disneyland, Fantasmic. It's on hiatus until springtime 2024. So there's a lot of things that are under refurbishment there. So that's a lot of the things that I found out. Parts of Mickey's Toontown, we did go over that, closed for refurbishment. There is going to be a new Mickey and Minnie fountain in the Centennial Park. So we're looking for that. It could be able to see that later on in this month. This one thing I found out, which may be of interest to some people, especially those who are local to Disneyland, beginning on October 24th, excuse me, you can buy a child's ticket. Yeah, that's ages 3 to 9 for the park for $50 per child per day. That's pretty cool. You can choose a 1, 2, or 3 day park ticket. And of course you can do the upgrades, Park Hopper or Disney Genie Plus service. But that's pretty cool. So between October 24th and January 8th, I take that back. Those tickets will be valid for use between January 8th and March 10th. So that's pretty good. $50 per day per child. So that's all the news. I just thought it'd be good to take a look at what's going on with Disneyland and a lot of refurbishments, a lot of things going on. I believe that what they tried to do is they tried to do these refurbishments in September, Chris, when it's not a big travel time because obviously the kids are back in school, all that stuff's going on, football and stuff. So it's probably a good time to do refurbishments.
Right. No, that's good.
So, yeah.
All right. So what's our main subject for today?
Well, the main subject today is, we spend so much time talking about the Disney parks, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, whatever. I thought it would be a good change of pace for you and I to talk about what's coming up as far as Disney films. Mm. There are a ton of Disney films that are being planned to be released over the next 7, 8, 9 years. And I thought it would be good for us to talk about those that we think would be of interest to our listeners, those films that will be released over the next 12 months. Okay. And, you and I can give our, thoughts on if we think it's going to be a thumbs up or a thumbs down, if it has any interest. So
now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
All right. So where are we going to go first?
Okay. So let's see. The first one we're going to talk about is The Marvels.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be released. That's going to be released 10th. November 10th.
Right.
Now The Marvels, I've seen the trailers for it.
Right.
It's probably something I'm not too sure I want to go see, but who knows?
Right.
It's a Captain Marvel sequel, and it's involving Carol Danvers. Is she Captain Marvel?
She's Captain Marvel. Then there's Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, and then
Monica Rambeau.
Right. I don't know. I forget which name they're giving her for the movie. She had multiple names like Photon and stuff like that in the comics, but I don't remember what they're calling her in this one. But and just as a little thing ahead of time, I do work for Marvel, but I have no working knowledge of any of these Marvel movies or anything. I am just a outside contractor, so I don't have any inside information on any of these.
So you haven't seen any trailers?
I saw the trailers for the Marvels. I know that it was actually pushed back. It was supposed to be released earlier in the year. And I think because of all the scheduling and then the pandemic and stuff, it got pushed back because they had some delays in the shows and things that would lead into it. So they had to, get through the Ms. Marvel series and to get to this point. So, it was typical. The first movie, the first Captain Marvel movie was kind of panned by that, like, sort of, we call them Comics Gate. It's a very right wing kind of,
mm-hmm.
gatekeepers who don't like the idea that a woman is starring in a superhero movie. And so there was a lot of slack for that, a lot of flack for that one. I thought the movie was great. I enjoyed it. I'm actually looking forward to this new one. It sounds like a fun premise, and I'm just hoping they do something different with it than the other movies. The other movies tended to be, you know, origin stories. We find the villain, defeats the villain, move on, you know? And so I'm hoping with this, there's the idea that every time they use their powers, they switch places. So like if like Carol uses her powers, boom, Kamala appears wherever she is. So it sounds like it's a fun little like Freaky Friday change in personality thing going on. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope it does well. It should. So we shall see.
Wait, this is going to sound like good cop, bad cop.
Yeah,
because that kind of action where you never know what's going to happen. This one does. It shows her powers or his powers, and then it turns to that one. The trailer kind of made me, I don't know, I guess I'm looking for pure action. I'm not looking for comedy along those lines. And I think that, you know, it's just me. I think that it is interesting because when you have a premise like that where you don't know what's going to happen, and it's an obstacle that these, I believe there's three main characters, they have to deal with throughout the movie. I'm sure it'll be interesting to see how they find a way to control it. We'll see. I think
from the trailer, it looked like at some point that kind of fades away and they're fighting alongside of each other. So I don't think it's going to be like the entire movie of them. I think it's going to be some beginning premise and then they figure it out and then go off and fight together. So
there is one scene from the trailers that I got a kick out of, and it has something to do with the cat.
Yes.
I won't tell anybody what it is. Yeah, but really funny.
Yeah.
So.
Good stuff. All right. What's the next movie?
The next one, which I think is the big one, and there's always a big one, the third or fourth week in November and the third or fourth week in June. Mm-hmm. This one is called Wish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be released on November 22nd. It's based on a story about a wishing star. And it has, let's see, the main character's name is Asha, mm-hmm. who is in the Kingdom of Rosas. And she is involved with trying to save her home with a tiny cosmic sidekick named Star. So it looks like that will be an interesting movie. It kind of gives me, I don't want to say Coco, but Encanto kind of feeling. I don't know. She looks like a long lost cousin of the is it the Mirabelle family? I forget the name of the family in Encanto. Right. The premise looks kind of, I don't know, like something that we've seen before. I'm sure there are wrinkles in there that we're not aware of. There's going to be a big push. Yeah, I believe that we'll be seeing sometime, and then probably right around Halloween, we're going to see a big push on television with some trailers showing up. So
right,
we'll see. I think that it has what a lot of film fans want. This seems to be a push to really, really have more strong female characters, which is welcomed. And I think that it's really a good way of showing diversity. And so I am looking forward to seeing that part of it.
Yeah.
I just don't want the plot to be similar to what we've seen before.
Right. Well, I mean, from what I saw or whatever, there's something bad going on in the kingdom. And so she kind of makes a wish to figure it out. The king or something like that is evil, or she thinks that he's evil, whatever. I don't know. So
there's a swerve in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I'm Ariana DeBose is in it, and Chris Pine is in it as voice actors. And So it's got a good talent there. So yeah, we'll see. I haven't really seen much of it yet. So I'm, you know, but I usually keep my mind open with these. I wait to see when they come out. I will admit that the last couple I haven't even gone to see or haven't even watched on Disney Plus yet, which is bad. I mean, I should, but that's the life of a hardworking cartoonist when you don't even have time to watch movies anymore.
Well, so, gives you something to do in your old age.
There you go. All right. But there's one that's very important to me coming up. I think the next one.
Which one's that, Chris?
It's got a great name.
Now, how do you pronounce it? I know that I'm always being told by a certain someone that I don't pronounce a certain someone's surname the right way. But
yeah, I believe the name of the movie is Elio.
Yeah.
But I pronounced my last name Eliopoulos, so a little bit less of a thing. But it's when I heard it, I was like, am I being punked? What's going on here? So can you tell me what Elio is about?
So from what I have seen, and I've seen trailers in the theaters. Mm. So Elio is an 11-year-old boy. And he has, the first thing you notice about Elio is that he has a patch over his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be very intriguing. Not to get off the track a little bit, but one of the films that I thought was a hallmark film was How to Train Your Dragon, in which the main character was a boy who had a prosthetic leg.
And well, I think it happens at the end of the movie. He loses his leg at the end of the
right.
movie. Right.
But I think it's very I think it's very good of the Disney studios to show these kinds of characters and what they can accomplish despite having any kind of disability. So Elio. He is a child who somehow is swept up into an alien spaceship, and he meets all these aliens, and they mistake him for being an ambassador from Earth, and he realizes that I need to speak like an adult so that they'll pay attention to me, and he speaks as an adult and everything, and the whole movie centers around his interaction with these aliens and how he represents Earth. I don't know that much more about it. The trailer doesn't go into much. They're being a little secretive about more of the plot, but it looks like it's a fun movie. Right. It looks like it's going to be one that has a whole range of new characters, and I'm really curious to see how they pull it off. The film stars America Ferrara and Jonas Kilbreb.
Mm.
So it's going to come out on March 1st. So we've got a ways to go. And that's probably why they're not showing that many trailers.
They usually don't do anything until they lead into it. Yeah. Well, all right. What's the next one? Are we going back to live action?
Yeah. It was a matter of time before we would be seeing live action renditions of famous animated classics. And the one we're going to see towards the end of March is going to be Snow White. And I believe the actress playing Snow White is
Rachel Ziegler.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
heard there's some controversy going on with this movie. There's been a lot of issues, and I've been seeing a lot of stuff going on. She had said some stuff, I think, and the plot of the movie came out, and the dwarves aren't little people, and everybody's arguing, right? So like they're not making them little people, and then the little people actors are saying, hey, we could have used these parts, and you know, I think nobody's happy with this one. It's going to be interesting to see if it actually even does come out.
Wow.
There was a lot of stuff going on. I know Rachel had said some stuff like about the original movie being of its time and not being very progressive when it comes to women's issues and thoughts and stuff like that. And, you know, and of course, as people are wont to do, they rake her over the coals for it. But if it comes out, I don't think I'd be seeing it anyway, but I'm not a fan of redoing, you know, all these classics as live action. It's like, leave them well enough alone. They were good. They worked. Leave them.
So when at the D23 crowd, she talked about Rachel Ziegler. Ziegler talked about the movie, and she said, and I quote, she said, "Snow White is the girl you remember, but she's definitely made for the modern age. There's such an emphasis on what it really means to be the fairest of them all. For Snow White, it's coming to terms with finding herself and finding her inner voice and finding a sense of agency so that she can be a just ruler and a wonderful queen."
Yeah. I mean, it changes over what the original was, but I'd like that better. Like, don't do an exact rehash, do something different, which is fine.
Yeah, I think it enhances the character of Snow White. She's more than just, you know, someone who takes care of seven dwarfs and bakes pies all day.
Right. And so, dances around, and her only thing going for her is that she's beautiful, you know, and that the queen is jealous of her. I mean,
the evil queen played by,
I don't know, who's
Gail Gadot. Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, so she's
Gadot.
I don't know. She's the evil queen. Well, she's the stepmother and queen.
Right. Well, what's interesting too is I know because of the strikes, I'm wondering if the next batch of movies that we're going to be looking at, are they going to be pushed back eventually since production has been shut down?
Yeah, you know, Chris, that's a good point, because in looking at what was coming down the road, there are a lot, and I just don't know what this strike has done to the schedules, writers and actors. So who knows if these dates are going to hold. I think that if you are looking at a movie that's in post-production, you're okay.
Right.
And that would probably be the ones that are slated for the rest of this year. 2024, you know, all bets are off. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. The animated movies probably can keep going depending. Even though the actors are on strike, they usually record their stuff early. Like we do it on our show. It's like we've finished all the recording on our second season of our TV show, which doesn't come out until January. It doesn't even start till January, and then it's going to extend through the year. So we're like, we're way ahead with it when it comes to voice talent. So I think with the animated movies, they do it. But I remember our next movie is Deadpool 3. And I saw that they'd released some pictures of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. And then it all got shut down because of the strike. And now they're going to football games with Taylor Swift and not, you know, shooting the movie. So who knows if this date is going to stay at May 3rd. But have you seen the first two Deadpool movies?
No, I haven't seen any. And I don't even, not only is this date, you know, subject to change, but I think that the title hasn't been settled on. I mean, we're calling it Deadpool 3. I don't think they actually have come up with the real name.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, this is something to consider, you know, are they filming? My guess is that they're still filming this one.
Well, they were in. I mean, it was funny because they had just come out with those pictures of them doing a fight scene, and then the actors went on strike, the writers went on strike first, and so production halted, and so they haven't gone back yet. So it's been now a couple months. So they've got to be pushing back these dates. There's no way they're going to meet them. From what I understand, what little I've seen online, it's a multiverse story. So we're bringing Deadpool over from the Sonyverse. I think it's the Sonyverse, or is it the Fox into the Disneyverse? After they bought Fox, they got the X-Men back. They got Deadpool back. So
Fantastic Four too. Fantastic Four.
The Fantastic Four as well. Right. So there's talks that they're starting to work on that, but, So Deadpool is going to kind of come into the Disneyverse, and join that crowd. So this might be like a universe or multiverse hopping adventure for Deadpool. And that's why we see Hugh Jackman in sort of a traditional costume from the movie, from the comic. So, but the director is Sean Levy, who directed Ryan Reynolds in his last two movies, The Adam Project and Real Guy. Is that it? Real Guy? Is that the name of it?
Don't.
It was the one where he's a video game character. So
I think this has been a movie that's been worked on for a long time. I know that it was originally scheduled for November 2024 release, but they somehow moved it up to May. So we'll see.
Well, I think that's going to change again. So
yeah, Ryan Reynolds, of course, is Deadpool.
Yep.
So that should be
more of the same. Good stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see.
All right. What's up next?
So one of the things that people may not realize is that Disney now owns 20th Century Studios. And so a lot of the movies that come out of there are really under the Disney banner. And what's supposed to come out on May 24th? Boy, this franchise has been around for a long time. It's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And I have no idea, you know. This is supposed to be a sequel to what was called War for the Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is the fourth film in this franchise. I have no idea what kind of a plot, a storyline is involved with it.
Right.
From what I understand, apparently the apes have taken over the earth because the human race has regressed. The apes are enslaving people. So the whole idea is that, you know, I guess we're trying to get our planet back.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's story old as time.
Well, look, it's a good franchise that seems to make money every time it comes out. So of course they're going to keep beating it into the ground. Like the original series, the original movies, you know, the first one did well, so they had to do like four more. Same CG apes. I'm sure. Who is the actor that played the main ape? See, I'm so bad. I don't follow any of these things. So
that's a
Caesar.
Good question. Caesar.
I think he was by who's the guy who played
Owen,
Gollum?
Owen Teague. Is that his name?
Oh, different person then.
Yeah. I think that's his name.
Yeah, so we have no working knowledge. I'm not going to see it, I'm sure, because I never saw the other ones. So, but all right, let's go back to Walt Disney Pictures.
Okay, so I'm sure this is a movie that Michelle will look forward to seeing. It's going to be released on June 14th, 2024. And it is the second edition of a movie franchise known as Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference is that in this particular movie, the main character, Riley, is now a teenager.
And puberty's kicking in.
Yep, puberty's taking in. And so everything takes place inside her head. From what I understand, as mentioned in the D23 Expo, there will be new emotions that will show up.
Yeah.
Because she's a teenager, and I think it has something to do with puberty, so it'll be interesting.
I assume Pete Docter is not directing it, so
no, it's Kelsey Mann.
Okay.
I don't think he's had too many successful movies. He directed The Good Dinosaur, he directed Lightyear, and he directed Onward. Of those three, I've seen two of them. I don't think I've seen The Good Dinosaur. But I thought Onward was the best of those three.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
So we'll see.
A little short. It felt a little short.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Lightyear wasn't a great hit. And who is the guy? I think the director of Lightyear, was he a co-director? Kelsey?
I don't remember.
Because I know, I think I saw that the director of Lightyear was let go from Pixar. So,
but you know, Chris, we tend to, you know, I look at a movie and I say, oh boy, really not a good movie, and I want to blame the director, but basically it's the screenplay, it's the storyline that really comes to mind when you're saying, did you like this movie? Did you not like this movie? How many times do we say, you know, this movie was great because it was directed by boom.
Right.
And there are very few directors who we will remember. Yeah. You know, the first one that comes to mind is Chris Nolan for Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he did a pretty good job there.
Steven Spielberg, you always kind of go, well, that's a Spielberg movie.
Favreau, you know, he's good. So,
Cameron.
Yeah, it's tough to say, you know, if a good director can do something with bad material, that's something, but we just don't know. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see Inside Out. I think it'll be an interesting movie to see how it's
will it be accepted. Will it be a Toy Story 2 or will it be a Finding Dory?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, you know, it's sort of like, you know, the sequels tend to go one way or the other. Speaking of sequels, what's the next one?
So this is interesting because I didn't think that they would. I don't know. I didn't know if they would do a sequel to The Lion King, but sure enough, on July 5th, they're going to release Mufasa, The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be the story of Mufasa. Supposedly one of the greatest kings in the history of pride lions.
Mufasa.
Yeah.
So it's a prequel.
It's a prequel, and it's going to be, from what the director has said, that the film will be told in, quote, different time frames as it shifts between the present and the past. So I don't know what that means, but what's interesting about this film, Chris, is that there will be narration throughout from Rafiki, Timon, and Pumbaa. And they're all going to be instrumental in describing how Mufasa came into power.
Okay.
It's going to be an interesting movie. The director did say a few things about the prequel. He said Mufasa is actually, he's an orphaned cub. And he had to figure out how to navigate the world alone by himself. He says, in telling the story, we get to experience the real journey of how Mufasa found his place in the drumroll circle of life.
Yeah. It's interesting that he's an orphan. Then how does Scar come into the picture? His brother. Interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be... Yeah, you're right. He's an orphan. So do they meet up? And Scar said, yeah. "I was the one son that they loved." So
we want to see.
There's more information, but I think I'm just going to hold back because
and it's going to be that live computer. I want to say live action, but it's really computer generated.
I believe so.
To look real. Okay. All right. One last one. What's the last one?
This is another from the Marvel Studios. It's going to be Captain America. It's called Captain America Brave New World, and it's coming out toward the last week in July. Mm-hmm. And it's got Sam Wilson. You know, actually Anthony Mackie is the actor. He's going to be starring in this, which I believe is the fourth film in the franchise.
Right. Harrison Ford's going to play for William Hurt. He's taking over for William Hurt. He's going to do Thunderbolt Ross. But in the comics, at one point, Thunderbolt Ross gets irradiated like the Hulk, and he becomes the Red Hulk. And I'm wondering if that's what's going to happen here. Like, we're going to see him turn into...
Is that Tim Blake Nelson? Is that the guy's name? No?
No. It was William Hurt.
William Hurt, okay.
Yeah. And now it's Harrison Ford's going to play the part. He's taking over.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that's what's actually going to happen, but the fact that it's Harrison Ford and they're sort of beefing up that, unless it's more of a, him kind of sticking it to Captain, the new Captain America. We'll see. Who knows?
It sounds like it's going to be somewhat of a thriller. There will be Danny Ramirez and Kyle Lumley are going to be there reprising their roles from the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of interesting characters that will be there. So yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think that Anthony Mackie does a real great job as the new Captain America. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. So. Before we leave this, Chris, I wanted to mention that there's a whole bunch of movies that we haven't gotten into that down the pike. And I just thought mention this before we go on to our tip of the week. There are plans to do another Frozen movie. There are plans to do at least one more Toy Story movie. There are three Avatar movies being planned. There are more than just these Marvel movies that are being planned. And I think there are three or maybe four Star Wars movies, probably more to come. But right. The thing that I was really intrigued by was that they plan to do a live action Moana film.
Hmm.
And I think that particular film is going to make a lot of money because Dwayne The Rock Johnson said, yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to play. What's the name of the guy?
Maui.
He said, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be playing Maui. But what's her name who played Moana? I can't even pronounce her name. I don't think she's going to be playing Moana, but I can see people being really excited to see that. That would be a fun, fun movie. So
very cool. All right.
So from time to time, we'll talk about movies coming out and stuff
very cool.
And things like that.
All right. What's your tip of the week?
Okay. Tip of the week. This tip, long time coming. I've used it for, let me see. 33, 35 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's probably stuff that people have heard about before. And it centers around parades, specifically, or obviously parades in Magic Kingdom, because that's the only place where you can see parades these days. Mostly it is useful at night for nighttime parades. Hopefully someday we'll have a return of the nighttime parades. But when it comes to fireworks or parades in the Magic Kingdom, if you want to have a good view of the parade, especially if you have young children who aren't too tall, you need to figure out where to sit and how soon before the parade time do you set up. So I used to videotape a lot of parades, and so I have 1, 2, 3, 4 locations that I recommend to watch parades, regardless of whether you're videotaping, if you're recording on your phone or whatever, or if you just want to enjoy the film, the parade. We're going to start off in Frontierland. If you are interested in either sitting down or getting as close as you can to the parade, what you want to consider is you want to watch the parade from the Mercantile section of Frontierland. That would mean like right outside Pecos Bills or right around there. There are holes in the ground in which they set up posts and they run ropes through. There are places where you can sit very comfortably and no one would stand in front of you on the Mercantile side of Frontierland. And when I say Mercantile side, I mean the side where the buildings are, where Pecos Bills is, where Country Beer Jamboree is. Because if you are on the other side where the water is, you're going to have lights from the roofs into your face. So that is one place that I find is a great place to watch parades. Another, I guess the second place, I guess you can still use it. It used to be the parades used to come the other way around. But if you go past the Liberty Tree in Liberty Tree Square, and you go past Pirate, not Pirates, the Hall of Presidents. You're going to come across the bridge that goes over into the hub of the park. Before you go over that bridge, on the right-hand side, there is a trash can, and there's a space between the trash can and the bridge and where there's a rope. You can just hang out there, and no one's going to be in front of you, and it's a great spot to record the parade. I find that to be a very, very good spot. Moving along, there is a place just before the Frontier Shooting Gallery. It looks like a place where I think the Disney Vacation Club sets up. You can stand there and watch the parade. I remember watching the parade that night with the trainer of the trainer for the horse that brings the Headless Horseman down Main Street USA for a Booty U parade. But that's a great place. A lot of people don't realize that that's a great place to stand and watch the parade. Okay. The final location, which I think is my favorite, especially if you have children, is in the town square and the Magic Kingdom. As you walk in, it is, if there is a, they rope it off so that there's an area that's maybe one quarter of that circle is just there's nobody goes there. There's no, the parade route comes down Main Street, goes clockwise around, goes past the train station, past the City Hall, and into the backstage area. If you stand between the town square and the Emporium, and with the City Hall and the firehouse and the barbershop, like right around there, you can walk around. It's like a I don't know. It's like a 40x40 area where there's nobody around because everybody lines up on Main Street to watch the parade, and you can really see the parade floats really well there. I've gone there many times. I've stood there with many cast members, friends of mine, and they have told me to go there. And sure enough, it's great. I remember being there with a whole bunch of them, and they knew all the performers in the parade, and they all came up to us in the where the rope is. It's really, really good. The best place to stand is if you're facing the City Hall, and a little bit to your right is the firehouse, and a little bit to your right is where they go backstage, and a little bit to your right is the barbershop. But that, to me, is my favorite place to watch parades. Again, best at night. The daytime parade, you got to watch out for that sun. So,
right.
All right, that's my tip of the week.
Yep. I like it. All right. Well, thanks for running with us today. On behalf of Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Aliopoulos. We'll see you on the road in the park.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.
What's interesting too is Harrison Ford is now in there as Thunderbolt Ross. The previous actor, oh my God, what was his name? Oh dear Lord, how bad am I? Here we go again. We're getting senior moments all the time. The actor used to play, he played in Body Heat. What else did he play in? Oh Lord, I forgot his name. See, here we go again. Anyway.
Was he, no, I can't think of his.
I know. It's like, I have the internet right here.
What was the character he played?
He played Thunderbolt Ross. He was played by William Hurt. That's it.
William Hurt. Wow.
Yeah.
Nope.